Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Monday afternoon, October 20th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The fast food tech revolution continues to heat up. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, a major Amazon Web Services outage disrupted numerous websites, including those of major airlines, retailers, and social media platforms. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home as Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force based in Chicago. Jerry, thank you for joining us today. What is the latest on this outage? It sounds like it has been resolved, but those who were affected by it are still trying to get up and running.
Yeah, actually, AWS is stating that it is completely resolved. However, there are a lot of systems that still aren't responding. If you go to, you know, down.com, it will show you different sites that are showing down. And for personal users, things that are really affected still are Amazon's Alexa. It's not responding. Ring doorbells, Ring cameras, they may or may not be working. A lot of Internet of Things devices, including thermometers, thermostats, and things of that nature, continue to have problems. And there are also issues with some banking sites and things of that nature, too. So it's still having a ripple effect across the entire country.
And there are no indications this was the result of malicious activity, that this was merely a technical issue.
That's what they're stating. You know, I don't know if there was a system update. Things don't generally break. It's a software application. They're Dynamo. Database that they have that they're stating is the issue. So perhaps there was a software upgrade or something that caused the effect. And, you know, these servers basically are out there providing support to all of the connections that are out there. So very large companies from United Airlines and Verizon and, you know, different companies out there all use these AWS systems to run their platforms, and that's why the effect is so big.
Now, this is something we learned during the CrowdStrike outage last year. We're learning it again today, and that is these types of software applications allow for incredible productivity and the ability just to do business across a number of platforms and in a wide geographic space by just having everything in the cloud and not having to move items physically from one area to another. Is, on the other hand, when it goes down, it can be really disruptive. Is this a case in which the day-to-day productivity gains outweigh the disruption that takes place when there is some sort of technological hiccup?
You know, that's a question for the ages. You know, companies are saving millions, if not trillions of dollars, combined by putting their things in the cloud. But the biggest problem that we have right now is AWS, the Amazon services, Microsoft's Office 365 and their Azure platform and the Google platforms are the three largest providers out there for server services. And they basically have everybody out there in the world. So these three organizations are maintaining the servers that are out there in the cloud. And anything happens to any one of them, then thousands and hundreds of thousands of organizations are affected. So there is a lot of issues with resiliency. How do they make sure that that they continue to run? Is there some type of situation where these companies could combine services and use each other for backup? So that if AWS goes down, it automatically goes over to Microsoft or over to Google. You know, that would be something that would provide us a lot more flexibility and backup, but getting those organizations to play with that would be very difficult.
Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago. Coming up, the fast food tech boom rolls on as White Castle unveils its castle of tomorrow.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The fast food tech boom rolls on as White Castle unveils its castle of tomorrow, featuring an AI-powered drive-thru and robotic fry cooks. With us to discuss is R.J. Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Palo Alto-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. R.J., thank you for joining us today. And there's some precedent here when it comes to White Castle, which nearly 100 years ago derived its color more or less to project an image of health and sanitation to its customers at a time when the quality of food was still kind of a white-knuckle experience. If you were going out to eat a century ago, R.J., you're running the risk of getting sick, and White Castle had that color to tell people that you were eating in an environment with the utmost food safety. And of course, the hamburgers have the holes in them, so you don't have to flip them. And now they're trying to push the technological ball forward at this restaurant in Columbus, Ohio. And how does this White Castle of tomorrow compare to other fast food efforts to incorporate AI and robotics into the kitchen?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Rob. This is not the first time we've talked about this topic of quick service restaurant chains trying to bring in automation and other elements of technology to their business. But over the years that we've been talking about it, most have not, kind of found that right recipe. There's always been hiccups as they've implemented this or something doesn't quite work right. And so I think this is just the latest advancement forward. I think this is more comprehensive than what we've seen. Typically, we see an operator usually implement something at the drive-thru or just the robotic fry flipper. Or the fry cooker, burger flipper, or kiosk. This is a full-scale effort where they're really trying to combine all these aspects at once. And that's going to be a challenge. I think the idea is right. I think bringing in these technology solutions to kind of offset labor and other cost pressures is the right idea. But at the end of the day, it's really tough to manage all these things. I don't think we're completely automated with some of these technologies yet. You usually need human interaction as well.
Well, a number of fast food establishments have kicked the tires on the AI order taker at the drive-thru and have pulled back just because of errors in processing the order. There was one interesting thing I noticed, though, when one analyst was talking about going to a full kiosk setup to order. You don't order from the person, you order from the kiosk. And it was an interesting psychological comment where you think that you set up the kiosk so that you're not paying someone to stand behind the register and take your order. That's one way to save money. But the kiosk is also a way to make money because the kiosk is not judgmental. When you ask for two burgers or a larger order of fries, you can be a little more indulgent and spend a little bit more because, honestly, the kiosk will still love you when you're done.
Yes, so we have seen that in our analysis in the past, too, is typically speaking, when somebody orders at a kiosk, the average ticket tends to be higher. I've seen estimates anywhere between 5 and 15% higher than it would be in a normal order. So you're right. There isn't that judgmental aspect of it. There is that, that lack of psychological barrier with that order. So I think that is interesting, kind of the offset Some of this, if you can raise that average ticket through these larger order sizes and potentially improve throughput through some of these other technology advances, in theory, it works. The problem is that, you know, implementing this is easier said than done. And a lot of times the technology breaks down, and it does, all it takes is that one experience that goes wrong for the consumer, and they may switch to another brand.
Now, in the past, when we're talking about AI or automation in fast food restaurants, it's to make the human workers that much more productive, because coming out of COVID and the Great Resignation, restaurants were and are having a hard time getting people to sign on the dotted line and work there. The labor costs are higher, and even now, 5 years later, they're having a hard time with this. If this White Castle concept is successful, does this mean potentially some human jobs in fast food restaurants will be replaced?
It's possible. I mean, I think you pointed out, you talk to any restaurant operator and they'll say labor is probably their most pressing need, not only labor availability, but costs and retention. I think those are all kind of big hot button topics for a lot of operators today. And so I think if this is successful, and you know, I think it'll take time to iron out potentially wrinkles with it, there is a chance that it replaces potential jobs at the restaurant. But you know, to be honest, there's probably already been jobs lost for some of this stuff. You know, it's, you know, people don't want some of these certain jobs as it is. So I think it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, I do think there is an element to this will help to get rid of some of the more mundane tasks at the restaurant too, the things that workers don't really enjoy anyway. So there's a chance we lose some jobs, but also I think that it could lead to happier workers at the same time.
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at Placer AI, thank you for joining us today.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Aldi is doubling down on its identity, rebranding private label products under its own name while racing to open a record 200 new stores. We welcome in Ali Muradi, restaurants and retail reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Ali, thank you for joining us today. And this must represent a major turning point for the Batavia-based grocer.
Yeah, it's a good point. Thanks for having me. You know, Aldi has really been driving sort of this resurgence that we're seeing right now in private label brands, or the generic brands, as others might call it. And yeah, them putting their name front and center, they said that it was because the customers were asking for that, right? Customers trust all these generic brands, but they don't necessarily know that Aldi's the ones putting those brands out. So they really wanted to take control of that and help spur their popularity as they expand and open all these new stores and new markets.
And on top of that, Aldi seems to be the big winner in the price sensitivity wars that have been underway for the last 5 years or so, since inflation reared its ugly head in 2021, sending a lot of people to try to find some manner of savings at the grocery store. And sometimes they find themselves at Aldi and they don't really skimp on the quality, even though you're saving a few cents here and there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, grocery prices are up about 30% since early 2020, just pre-pandemic. So people are looking for a deal, you know. They will go to Aldi and they don't care that there's not as much of a variety there, because they don't mind getting a deal on some items and then, you know, going to another store for the things they can't get there. Aldi has, you know, they've been a discount grocer since they got their start, which traces back to Germany in 1913. So they kind of really have the model down to keep their prices low, and they do it through a variety of ways. But we are seeing Aldi gain market share. You know, they have gained market share, and during the same period, we've seen Mariano's parent Kroger, Jewel Osco's parent Albertsons lose a share of the grocery market. So people really are turning towards these discount retailers right now.
And on top of that, Aldi and Trader Joe's share the same corporate parent. Obviously, they have different names, but they are under the same corporate umbrella. And does that mean that Aldi's suppliers happen to be Trader Joe's suppliers, and that's the reason why the quality appears to be the same across both brands?
That's an interesting question. I'm actually not sure if they share suppliers, but it's very interesting, you know, that the company, it was originally started by a woman, and her two sons took over after World War II, and they ended up splitting into Aldi South and Aldi North. Aldi South owns Aldi in the U.S. and Aldi North owns Trader Joe's. So there was a company split. They're a private company. They don't disclose a lot of their company structure details or their finances. But it's some pretty interesting history there. And you can definitely see that discount approach coming through both ways. And also the private label focus, right? And the customers, they're really succeeding in getting customers excited about those private label items.
Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, Toys R Us is accelerating its comeback, opening stores and holiday pop-ups across the U.S. and beyond.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. The markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist, CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Sam, thank you for joining us today. And we're starting the week off with a rally, and Apple is driving the bus this time around. What put that spring in Apple's step today?
Well, Rob, Apple telling us about good earnings expectations to go along with the other increase in earnings that we've been seeing. Apple has been sort of a slow mover when it comes to AI, and essentially now it is basically playing catch up with the other companies. Also, we're looking at the iPhone 17 series, which is doing very well in China, and that obviously is a tremendous marketplace for them.
Now, is that necessarily a bad thing for Apple, that they're kind of a laggard when it comes to AI? It seems like Apple's strategy when it comes to any technological advantage is to wait in the tall grass and watch the competition make expensive mistake after expensive mistake, and then come in at the very end with the idea that basically incorporated all the expensive lessons learned by others.
Yes. What is that? That's called wisdom. Knowledge is when you learn from your own mistakes, but wisdom is when you learn from the mistakes of others. And IBM, way back in the 1950s, did exactly that. Sperry Rand was the leader in the technology space at the time, but IBM came in a little bit later, but had learned from the mistakes that its competitors had made. And so that's one reason why we still like Apple, is because even though it is slow to the mark, it has been learning along the way.
Now, earnings season, by and large, so far for the third quarter, has surpassed expectations. So that's providing a bit of a lift in equities today as well.
Absolutely. I mean, not surprisingly, I think that management does a very good job of managing expectations. Actual results have exceeded end of quarter estimates in 63 of the last 65 quarters. So a very good batting average. So right now, S&P earnings are expected to be up about 7.5% for this quarter versus the sub 7% estimate. And the biggest beneficiary has been financials, led by the big banks, now expected to post a 16.5% earnings growth versus the 9% predicted at the end of the quarter.
Netflix, Coca-Cola, Tesla, and Intel are the big names on deck for this week. And so you get a good look at the AI space. You'll get a good look at other big names in tech. But also with Coca-Cola, you get some a consumer-facing company, which should give you a good idea of where the consumer's head is at, given all these economic crosswinds.
You're absolutely right. And actually, the KO shares have done better recently than its Pepsi competitor. And our Lowry Research, which is our technical analysis arm, is indicating that Coca-Cola is starting to see a nice upward swing to its share price movement.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist, CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, the Toys R Us revival continues.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Toys R Us is making a comeback. Joining us to discuss is Bob Phibbs, CEO of the Retail Doctor in New York. Find him online, retaildoctor.com. Bob, thank you for joining us today. It was about 7 years ago when the original Toys R Us brand was sold as a result of bankruptcy. This was 2017, following a 20-year decline. And there were all sorts of obituaries for Jeffrey the Giraffe that pointed out various causes of death, from the internet to private equity acquiring the brand. But the intellectual property was always there, Bob, and it came back in fits and starts. You could see it at pop-ups at Macy's, but now it's starting to expand its footprint once again. And I don't care how old you are, we're all still Toys R Us kids at heart.
You still want Nana to take you to Toys R Us? Is that what you're telling us, Rob?
Honestly, if someone could take me to the Toys R Us at 81st and Cicero in Burbank, I'll go with you. I still have that feeling from 35 years ago, just about how exciting it was to go to Toys R Us, and how many brands, extinct or currently extant, have that emotional pull on people.
Well, that's a great point, and I think we have to make sure we do go back to the fact that private equity bought them in 2004, paid off, I don't know, $6 billion in debt, and then only 20% of that came out of the buyer's pockets. The rest of it they borrowed, and they loaded it up with debt, and it was impossible to go, so they had to close all 800 of its American stores. The issue was not that people didn't want toys. It's what happened, they call it vulture capitalism, did to them. So the fact that they now have about 30 stores or talk about adding more, I think they're going to be in all Macy's for this holiday season. It's a brand that a lot of smart people built and a lot of people still want to see happen, but it was never a function that people didn't want to play with toys. And, you know, side note, take a look at Build-A-Bear. They've been killing it lately as well. People are looking for, you know, tactile toys as well as board games, especially younger generations.
Individual toys are an event. As you mentioned, Build-A-Bear is coming back and also doing well, not only on nostalgia, but also because the kids of the original Build-A-Bear generation, they love it as well. There is a Jellycat store in downtown Chicago if you want to spend $40 on a stuffed bunny, but I know my kids want me to, so of course we're going to the Jellycat store. So why don't you take all of these different toy brands that have a lot of buzz individually and then put them under the same roof?
Well, that's exactly what Toys R Us did. That was what was so groundbreaking. The idea was, we'll make a supermarket for kids' toys. And what was brilliant back in, I don't know, whenever they started, 80s? I don't know. Was that idea of bringing the supermarket idea. You just go down these long aisles and you just pick things up and kids would love it and the parents would love it because you couldn't have shopped online. But I think it would be interesting to see, why hasn't Mattel opened their own boutique? You know, why haven't some of these brands done what fashion realized, which was control the, kind of like American Girl, I guess, in some ways, but control it with your brand and see what happens. You know, Disney got rid of their stores, which was kind of a surprise because they're one of the most sought after brands in the world. So I think there's a lot of room in the category to see what's going to be happening. And the fact that Toys R Us has been able to come back in all fairness, pretty small. I mean, they have 30 stores compared to 800 they used to. But clearly, the market is moving for them. And the Toys R Us kids are still just kids at heart.
Now, how much has the toy market changed, though, since, let's say, 1990, when I was begging my parents and grandparents to go to the aforementioned Toys R Us at 81st and Cicero, not too far from Midway Airport? Because back then, there was the toy train aisle, there were stuffed animals, there were dolls, there were bikes, there were video games. Is that still pretty much the same today, or has the marketplace shifted somewhat?
Well, certainly there's a lot more digital products, that's for sure. And one of the big things that Toys R Us missed was licensing Star Wars and Lego movies, merchandise. That's kind of what this Toys R Us has been able to do. That's what Build-A-Bear has been able to do, that, you know, take this trusted empire of entertainment, get some kind of toys with it, and then make that an exclusive, and that would have helped them a lot as well. But I think we're finding a time when people are looking for something that's comforting and familiar, and however they get there, right? Whether it's going to be in a Netflix series or it's something you had as a kid. I don't know if Chutes and Ladders is going to be coming back quick, but you get the idea that we all have that sweet spot.
Now I want to play Chutes and Ladders. I think we still have a copy of that particular game at my parents' house. Bob Fibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor, based in New York. Find him online at theretaildoctor.com. Join us this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, a visit with our Monday afternoon stock picker.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. We welcome in Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial, based in Chicago. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And you have two selections, both of them from the tech space, and one of them is as timely as today's headlines. It's actually driving today's rally.
Absolutely, Rob. We are seeing Apple and Oracle being my two stock picks today. If you think about Apple, it's been a workhorse. It's the Jeremiah Love of the stock market. And if you think about how Notre Dame football beat the brakes off of USC on Saturday night, I look at the way Apple is really moving higher right now today, up about $10 to a new all-time high. This is due to the fact, Rob, that we did see a lot of people who are questioning what that iPhone 17 refreshing cycle would look like, and it's actually come out quite positive. So you've seen a lot of upgrades across the board, and Wall Street definitely has the market. Now the Dow is up over 500 points, and Apple is carrying that load all the way down the field.
And this is interesting that we talked about this earlier in the program, too, is that Apple is one of the few technology companies, and maybe this is just because they have the track record, that they're not being penalized by the street anymore for being a kind of a laggard when it comes to AI, that everybody knows that at the end of the day, they're going to hang back, watch everyone else make their mistakes, then come out with the revolutionary AI product that'll stick.
I think that's right, Rob. They're going to be poised. They're going to wait, and then they're going to implement. You're absolutely right. Siri needs to be upgraded. I do not like using Siri. It's not a great experience. But that's been Apple's MO, to your point. They wait, and then they buy. Their biggest acquisition, by the way, was Beats for $3 billion. So we'll see if they make a bigger acquisition in AI space. But you see Apple as an essential name. We actually own it in our Essential 40 ETF, ticker ESN. We just seen a little bit of a reprieve after 2023 and 2024 of two spectacular years. Now it's finally positive back on the year, up over 5%. But today is a monumental day, being up almost $11 with a new record high all-time close coming your way.
And then the other stalwart in your tech selections today, Oracle.
Oracle, another Essential 40 constituent, Rob, and we are seeing some selling pressure today. So I think there's an opportunity for people who maybe missed this high flyer this year. This has been one of the best performing stock. It was up over 100%. April 8th, Liberation Day low is up 125%. So we've seen two consecutive strong selling days. It's about to test the 50-day moving average at about 270, 272. But Oracle continues to be kind of the backbone of a lot of these AI deals. It's not a Magnificent Seven name. That's where we like having a little diversify. As we think this continued bull run, which is going to end through the end of Q4, you're going to see names like Oracle participate in that. But right now, it's a buying opportunity. 2 days in a row, down about 3% today, down about 7% on Friday.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO, KKM Financial in Chicago. Thank you for joining us on this Stock Picker Monday. His selections, Oracle, ORCL, and Apple, AAPL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.